This podcast is rated CP for Crockpot. It is intended for mature audiences only and may contain adult language, nudity, and violence. The podcast is fictional and does not depict any actual person or event. The views expressed on the online marketing Crockpot are that of the host and are no way associated with Sunbeam, Rival, Betty Crocker, Sarah Lee, Aunt Jemima, or Chef Boyardee. Repeated listening to this podcast may cause nausea, headaches, hives, rashes, high blood pressure, constipation, anal leakage, and a decrease in commission. Consult your doctor to determine if you're healthy enough for this strenuous audio exercise. Any broadcast or rebroadcast of this podcast without the express written consent of Major League Baseball is encouraged.
Yo, 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 Lisa P, how you doing?
Oh, is this Todd Farmer or is this Gangsta?
What up, what up?
When did you get, what did you watch, the VMAs or something?
Oh my
you
God.
You suddenly feel all young and youthful?
I just want to dance like Miley Cyrus.
I have to say I didn't watch the show because I have a friend that is kind of like an award show junkie, and she usually comes over for the shows, and we kind of like both get on Twitter and, you know, check out what other people are saying and laugh at things. And she wasn't around, so I missed the show, which I figure MTV will replay 20 million times.
Right,
and actually, if I record it, I could probably watch the whole thing in an hour.
Yeah, there's just so much to not watch, dude.
Yeah.
I recorded it and flipped through it, and I was like, seriously, 15, 20 minutes, the whole thing's done.
Well,
fast forward.
I felt like all of the people that are sort of my peer group that are my age were like, I don't really get this, or who's that? Or
right.
So I was like, oh, the old person podcast needs to be capped. The VM podcast, I don't know what I'm saying.
We are doing a crock pot that gives you any indication as to our age.
I know. It needs to be like a pop-up video and like say stuff for old people, like be captioned, you know?
Oh, my God, that's brilliant. I love that.
That would be so funny. You say, why did you just say, though, that the crock pot is old?
It's an old word. Old, come on, you got to admit it. This is not something that I've...
It came back into fashion.
That's because we did it. We brought it back.
It's rebranded itself as the slow cooker.
Right.
Slow cooking.
Simmer down.
Well, that, and you know what? Being Susie Segway that I am, that brings us to our topic of today. Rebranding.
It does. And first, before we get into our kick-ass branding dialogue, I do want to apologize to you. If you've noticed, I am not in my recording sound studio where it is amazingly acoustically perfect. No, I am at a coffee shop. I have no interwebs at home and had to depart. Left the kids at home, said, here's a bowl of food and bowl of water. Take care of yourselves. I'll be back in an hour.
Isn't that the same thing you say to your cat, Big Lou?
That damn cat, if he comes home, he's fine.
He's here's your bowl of water. Here's your bowl of food.
don't ask for nothing else.
Don't set the house on fire. Okay, I just want to ask you, how many times are you going to say interwebs?
Drink.
I guess when it goes down, that's when you say. So first of all, just tell us, what are your problems? You got cable problems?
Yeah, so I use Wide Open West, and I've not had a whole lot of problems. I have, just over the last couple of months, had some ridiculous little goofy things happening and got them resolved relatively quickly. I was relatively happy. Then yesterday, I get up in the morning to get some work done. It's like, oh, there's no internet. All right, I'll figure this out later on. We'll deal with this. And then I did some stuff at a coffee shop and didn't even think about it. Go back home. Okay, now I'll get some more work done. And, well, what the hell? There's no internet. And the phone. Oh, yeah, you're dead, too. All right, I'll call Wide Open West. And long story short, they are bringing somebody out today. My window of opportunity was 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. That was the earliest session or time window for attack, right? It's like, screw that. I'm not going to wait till 4 p.m. I got to work. So she's like, well, first available all day window, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Well, I guess that's better than 4 p.m. Let's give it a shot.
But what if you're at the coffee shop and somebody comes?
They're going to give me a 30-minute warning, presumably.
Oh, okay.
And I'm only 15 minutes maximum away.
Oh, okay.
It's probably like a 10-minute drive, 5 minutes, shutting down my computer, walking to my car. So.
All right. Okay, well, so we better hurry up.
You know it. All right, so let's talk about this amazing topic.
Yeah, let's talk about... I feel like I lost you.
I'm going to hit mute on occasion just so you don't have to hear this background noise.
Oh, just so I can feel like I'm talking to myself. Awesome.
A normal day in the life of Lisa Piccarelli.
Yeah, where I walk around talking to myself. No, so I wanted to talk about rebranding and branding in general. And so, you know, you jump in whenever you feel like it. But I think that one of the reasons I want to talk about rebranding is because suddenly, you know, in the last 6 months or so, maybe 9 months, I get emails and they say Rakuten Shopping. And as we all know, Linkshare is owned by Rakuten, and Rakuten is one of the largest e-commerce developers or largest e-commerce platforms in the world. But they are doing this because they bought buy.com. And I just have to say that when it said buy.com, I used to click on it. And now when it says Rakuten, I don't know why I don't click on it. I don't look for deals. And so I feel like Rakuten gave up the branding power that they had. I'm sure they don't feel that way. But I think that happens with a lot of people where they shift to what they think is going to be a larger, better known brand, and it doesn't really work for people.
Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. I personally prefer the individual brands being solid, strong brands like buy.com, pop shops, being what they are for their individual constituents, right? But then trying to roll everything up into a centralized, overarching brand, Rakuten, just doesn't do much for me.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about, you know, affiliates as brands. We know that Tim Storm turned Fat Wallet from, you know, just an a one-person affiliate thing that he started by himself and, you know, and then hired other people into Fat Wallet is a brand. And a lot of the coupon sites are actual brands, you know, and people know coupons.com or Coupon Cabin or Retail Me Not. So I guess I want to also talk about the dangers of sort of trying to build a brand and pigeonholing yourself, because I think we've seen where things happen, like terms change, they evolve, negative connotations come up with certain things. So like for a while, everybody was branding themselves as a social media guru.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then that kind of became unfashionable. To say that you were a social media guru didn't mean much. So then people were sort of scurrying to rebrand themselves. And so I'd love to hear from you. Built a brand, you know, in Cowabunga. I'd love to hear from you about how you create an identity that's solid and people know what it is, but still leave room for growth.
Right. Well, I had a very unique situation. I guess it's not so unique, but it felt unique at the time, where we had Cowabunga, the company, and I had a number of different products that all these different products were doing various different services. For instance, I had a software called My Affiliate Program, or My App for short. That was the real brand I wanted to promote to the affiliate marketing community. And then Cowabunga happened simply to be the provider. Right? We also had an email platform called Opt-in Pro. That was the product I wanted to brand and promote for email marketing. Amongst other things, we had some services called Team Affiliate, whatnot, but still, it was, I liked the idea of having a company identity and then individual product identities. And that's kind of the direction that I took with it, and it seemed to resonate, seemed to work, because I got people referring to us the way I had intended, so that was some indication that it worked, you know, it was accurate and we did our job. But I couldn't really imagine us if I wanted to, you know, change it to Cowabunga Affiliate Tracking or Cowabunga Email, right? It just, I think that individual brands are stronger as a product and then have a company brand. And that was my experience. That's what I did. And we started before there was a whole lot of software as a service. So that kind of made us feel a bit unique and kind of trying to figure our way out. And plus, we had a stupid name, Cowabunga. It was fun. In fact, people always laugh when I introduce, like, for instance, when I signed up for my very first phone line with Ameritech, AT&T. Yeah, set up my new phone line. What's the company name? Cowabunga. She goes, what? It's Cowabunga with an exclamation mark at the end. Thank you very much. Capital K, capital B. And I was like, yep, I got a winner.
Well, you know, I'm working with a client now who has done very well in the affiliate space under a certain brand name that's very recognizable. And the brand, this person has built a very good, solid reputation, a good, solid brand, but the name doesn't necessarily like Cowabunga or like sort of, you know, I mean, Google is now synonymous with search, but when it first came out, no one really knew, you know, there was Alta Vista. Nobody really knew what is Google. You know, it didn't say what the product was. And this client that I'm working with is rebranding under sort of a name that identifies what they do a little bit more than just sort of a fun name. And I'm wondering, you know, as I go through this exercise with them, like sort of in some ways how to approach this, because people did know the other name. Mm-hmm. And how do you sort of keep those legacy folks with you while moving in another direction?
Well, yeah, it's difficult. There's a lot of things that kind of encompass that discussion. Like, for instance, you had mentioned a brand that does what it says, as opposed, like Alta Vista, that could be anything.
Right.
And that just happened to be a search engine, right? Or like what I've done with Eric and Trisha, Eric Nagel and Trisha Meyer, partners in the Wine Club Group. We have a site clearly designed to run reviewing wine clubs. It's called Wine Club Reviews and Ratings.com. And so that, it does what it says. And so there's some things to be said for having a brand that does what it says versus a brand that you can do anything with it. Then there's something else to be said about us as affiliates and how we deliver our branding to the space, whether it's our own personal name. Like I know James Martell does this quite a bit. James Martell presents suchandsuch.com, right? And versus like Trisha Meyer, she has Trisha.me, and it's a great personal blog, and that really brands herself. But then she also has a number of different affiliate sites, Sunshine Rewards being one of them, and our wine club sites. So there's so many different ways to kind of look at this and address it. I don't know if there is an actual single solitary perfect answer, but these are some of the things that we run into.
And, you know, I mean, you brought up a good point with like wine club. And you know that I can never say it right, whether the ratings or the reviews are first. I can never get it right.
That's poor branding.
No, see, that's just me not able to comprehend, you know, more than three words in a row. But, like, let's say as an affiliate, I guess you have the opportunity, if you saw another area that was sort of adjacent or, you know, meshed with wine clubs that provided an opportunity. The thing is, as an affiliate, you have the opportunity to brand that separately and then bring them all under an umbrella property if you wanted to.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. In fact, like I know, for instance, there's a you'd brought up coupon sites, for instance, and I know a number of people had found a lot of success in the coupon space in the past. And sometimes you'll find that some of these coupon sites will have their brand like Fat Wallet. I know I read an article from Tim Storm recently where he was one of the differentiators between his success and the successes of other competitors in a space. And it's and the competitors in that space from, you know, 10 years ago were very close. And these are not people who hate one another. yes, they recognized each other as competition, but they were still friendly, if not straight up friends, and they'd help each other. And they did find different levels of success. And Tim's big plan was to reinvest in the company by hiring a bunch of people and not going it alone. And there are a lot of other people who found their success by kind of keeping their brand associated directly with their name, their own personality, and kind of going it alone, not building a huge team, not doing a big corporate deal, but it's more of like a lifestyle business, I guess, right? Where that's the kind of decision that they make as for their business and for their life and how their business integrates with their life and ultimately what they're going to do with their brand and how it's going to be perceived and if they can sell it.
Now, one of the things is you brought up someone like, and I don't know enough about James Martell's business. I mean, I know him, I know the work he does and the teaching he does, but I don't know the overall he owns and, you know, the vastness of his business. But let's say that somebody like him began to really grow and wanted to bring in other people. I think that the good thing is that, you know, he's a recognized name. His name is out there. He's associated with a certain level of quality and knowledge and all these things. But if he steps away from it, then there becomes a disappointment of, well, I'm not getting James Martell. I'm getting somebody who was trained by James Martell.
Right. Well, you think about also there's
plenty of
examples.
And I don't mean to pick on him.
I think it's a perfect example because there's a lot of publishing houses who have a number of different media properties, or it's just one huge media property that has tons and tons of contributing editors and writers, right? And for instance, Danny Sullivan, I think of him instantly about, you know, was it Search Engine Land that he has? And he doesn't write every single thing there, but you see his name plastered everywhere. And his brand, his name is directly associated with that domain, with that publication. And he's going to have a lot of contributors, a lot of writers, but his brand, his name, his face is associated with it. And so it does give their domains, their properties, their publications a bit of a personality, you know, to have a face with it. And it's not so anonymous. It's not just another website. Anybody could have put it together, but you put your face and your name up there and it does kind of give a bit more of a connection, of a relationship with the owner of the site. Whether they're the only sole provider or creator of the content or not, you still have that connection, I think. So in a lot of cases, I think that's really smart to do.
Well, I guess, you know, that is a smart thing to do. And what ends up happening there is if you've built a following like Danny Sullivan has and you say, and you're sort of known for really being on top of a particular subject, like he knows search, you know, really like nobody else, then even though he doesn't write every article, your assumption is as a reader that if he has such high standards, he's hiring people who have those same standards. And so you can expect a quality work out of the entire brand, even if he doesn't do it.
Right. Yeah, I agree 100%. Now, when you sell it, though, that, you know, so that kind of brings up the branding of a product, of a business for potential selling of this asset in the future. If your name is directly associated with it, does your name go with the sale of that business? Is it smart to actually brand your company with your name directly associated with it if you have the intention of selling it?
Okay, well, let's go back to one basic question that came up in my mastermind group yesterday, which is we were talking about selling a business, and one of the participants in my group said, every single person builds a business to sell it. And I was like, I'm not so sure about that. We had this discussion about in this day and age, are people only building businesses to sell them, or do people have the intention of like, this is my baby and I'm hopefully going to, you know, keep this forever and perpetuate and this is my legacy?
Right. I don't agree with that participant's perspective at all. I think that there is, it's, I don't know if it's 50-50 or 60-40, but it's definitely not all or nothing. Like, everybody starts a business just to sell. I don't agree with that at all. There is a blend of people who are going to start a business. And I think, actually, I wrote an article for a Share Sales blog. It should be published Tuesday or Wednesday.
Is that your shameless self-promotion?
I guess it is.
Okay.
And this article talks about, like, my lessons learned starting, running, and selling Cowabunga. And I learned a long time ago, about 20 years ago, I was at this nightclub, and I met the owner. He was cool as hell and brought us back at the hours, and we were just drinking and talking and stuff. And mind you, this was 20 years ago after a lot of drinks, so I could have got it wrong. But he was telling me the story was, and I was like 21 years old, whatever, and he was saying, Todd, this nightclub is like a jar of pickles. It's like, what the hell is that supposed to mean? It's like, before me, somebody, you know, acquired all the key ingredients and they made pickles, but they didn't package it nicely. So I bought this nightclub, this jar of pickles, and I packaged it nicely, added some more of my own ingredients, and I'm slapping a nice label on it. Now I'm going to sell that jar of pickles to the next guy who's going to try to increase its value and sell it later down the road as well. So he wasn't just thinking about his business, his nightclub, as revenue by selling drinks and revenue by selling, you know, admission to the club. He was thinking of this asset as something that he purchased, he's going to sell, and he's going to make money on the jar of pickles, which is his nightclub, and the value that he increased with that club. And that kind of got me thinking at that point early on, and before I even had a career of any sort, that businesses are either a lifestyle business, something that you do, and your revenue is based on the sales that occurred that week and that month, and your costs, how much employees you had to deal with, and all that kind of stuff. And you have your money, and then your net revenue, and what you do with it is what you do with it. But you can also think of it not as a lifestyle business, that lifestyle business that, you know, incorporates and integrates with your life and supports your lifestyle, whether you want to work 4-hour work weeks or you want to be a workaholic or whatever, you got family to deal with and you want to spend a lot of time with them. That's a lifestyle business, and you make choices, I think, based upon that versus a jar of pickles that you sell.
But do you think most people go into starting something, let's say in the affiliate space, knowing which one it's going to be? And don't you think that most people decide it's a jar of pickles when they reach a certain level of success and they see that other people are either imitating that or want what they have?
Yes.
And that it's a desirable commodity?
Yes. I think that people, a lot of affiliate marketers, get into the business of publishing and promoting different merchants in order to have a lifestyle and integrate their website, their blog, whatever they're creating and publishing, with their life, raising some money, maybe quitting their day job and replacing their income with this newfound business success. And that is a lifestyle business. And my gut says, by default, most affiliates get into it thinking of it that way. Maybe 50%, but a lot do, I think, start with the lifestyle business as the concept. And then later on, just as you said, at some point they're going to say, you know what, there is some value here, and I should really consider selling it. And then they might sell it, turning it into that jar of pickles. But that is a whole other discussion. Buying and selling businesses, but branding, ultimately, you know, is gonna, it affects a lot of things. It affects how you're perceived, how much money you make right now, how you're found in the search engines, how you rank, what people see when they look at your brand, what they buy from you, how they trust you.
I just feel that they're, you know, I mean, people are gonna have to decide for themselves, you know, how they want to go out and brand things, or if they're trying to rebrand. But I think that if you think about branding from the beginning and you try to have a balance of associating your name and your reputation with a company name, that provides you sort of enough wiggle room to expand the company or sell the company without it being solely based on you and you are the brand. Because I think having to rebrand is a very tough thing. And, you know, I keep going back to the Rakuten thing, and I'm sure that they are a multi-billion dollar company, so I assume they know what they're doing. But to me, the URL buy.com had more value than RakutenShopping.com.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And to sort of let that go, or not let it go, I mean, they still own it, but, you know, I wonder how many people were sort of like lost in that transition. And I think it's harder to rebrand than if you think about things from the beginning and sort of how you're going to handle them. But then again, a lot of this depends on, you know, there's so many companies, the availability of domains and whether other people have similar names and, you know, all sorts of things. So it becomes a very difficult process. So then that begs the question, do people need to, even if they're a small company just starting out, bring in someone who has some brand? Or is that only for the big guys who can afford these people who do this?
All right, I lost you for a second there when you're saying bringing someone to do what?
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, even if you're a small company and you're just starting out, is it worth it to have a conversation with somebody who is a branding expert that can talk to you about these things so that you're not facing a rebranding issue down the road?
I got you. Well, it seems like it would be more of an overall strategy, a business strategy first and foremost, not even a branding question, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just, you know, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I honestly have never even contemplated it.
Okay. Well, I think since we know you have interweb issues and we got our topic in and your shameless self-promotion, and you got any shout-outs for anybody?
Well, the anti-shout-out of Wide Open West.
Well, who has a cable company that they like? I mean, the thing is, it's always the greener. Everyone's always thinking, if only I had this. No one ever likes their cable and internet providers, I don't think.
Well, this is the time that you really do have to, you know, question, should I really have a second cable provider just to have internet access? So if one dies out, I'm guaranteed to have internet at home. And I don't have to sneak off to the coffee shop and hope that it's going to be quiet enough that I can get something done.
But that sort of, you know,
doesn't happen often.
It doesn't happen that often, and paying for that.
Right. It's an insurance cost.
Exactly. Right? Exactly. Well, that's all I've got this week.
Well,
but
you have to have a shameless self-promotion, a shout-out.
No, my shameless self-promotion, I'm sorry to say that I don't particularly have one. Working on some fun projects, but have room for more if people, you know, are looking for my services, and they can look at lisapicarelli.com or check me out on Twitter or LinkedIn or whatever. And for a shout out, I'm trying to think who I would have a shout out for. I don't think I have a shout out for anyone.
Are you just going to try to double up next week?
No, because I'm not doing it next week.
Why? What's next week? Is it
Labor Day?
Oh, that's right. We're looking for an excuse to have vacation days.
No, I'm not looking for an excuse. I'm just, it's Labor Day, and we're not going to be laboring. I mean, I'm sure I'll do work.
How will I possibly get through the weekend without talking to you?
Oh, I'm sure you
can. Oh, my gosh.
You can call me or do whatever you need to do. So I think that's it for us. Okay. And so people won't hear from, the next time people hear from us, it'll be September.
And school will be back in session.
For everyone, including Daniel M. Clark's kids.
Yeah, as mine as well.
I think that he had been anticipating that his daughter, who's slightly older, I don't know their exact ages, his daughter Winter was starting yesterday, which would have been Monday the 26th, and that his son Ian would be going off to school for the first time, and that that would start today. And he had been writing on Facebook how excited he was to sort of have peace and quiet for the first time ever, and then found out that his son doesn't start till next Tuesday. And he may have even brought him to school. I don't know. So
awkward.
Yeah. So he's now got a week of anticipation. But I thought that was very amusing.
Oh, that's funny.
My shout out is to people who share fun things about their parenting like that, that they can't wait for their kids to go off to school.
It's going to be quiet. It's going to be weird. But I guess it's got to happen.
And it's going to be productive.
That's right.
So that is good. My shout out is to my dog, Benny, who is in the cone zone right now. And
the cone zone?
Yes, no. He hates that thing, but he had a hot spot and he scratched and scratched and scratched until it was not good. And he had to get some shots and take some pills and wear the cone so he won't scratch. And he does not like the cone.
And you have to say hot spot when I'm having internet access problems, really?
Oh, I'm sorry. Nice of you. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry that he's got cone issues.
Well, you know, it's coming off later this week, so he should be happy about that. Oh, it's over.
30 minutes.
Hands up. Put your knives down.
Pencils?
Pencils down.
Oh, right. You're talking celebrity
chef. I'm talking Top Chef. Right, right. That's what I was talking. All right. Well, we will be back after. I hope everyone has a great Labor Day, and we will be back after that for our kickoff of our Q4 fall season. So maybe we can do some talking about holiday shopping.
And season premieres of kick-ass shows.
Oh, yeah, let's do that, too. Hopefully the fall issue of... tell me when all the new shows start.
So excited. Yay!
Very excited. All right.
Yeah, have a good one. I'll see you.
Bye. Okay, I got nothing for the
this
after show.
This call is being recorded.
No, I have nothing for the after show.
Good. So I can go home.
Okay, well, if you actually can stop recording, I do have something I want to tell you about. But
what if I just pretend that I stopped recording?
No, I don't. It can't.